The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Mary Magdalene was a mess. Confused, disbelieving, weeping almost uncontrollably. And why not? "They have taken away my Lord," she explained, "and I do not know where they have laid him." Over the last few days, Mary's life had fallen apart because Jesus had been taken away from her. First, there was his arrest, then his trials, his shameful treatment by Herod and the soldiers, the brutality of his being scourged, the hatred of the leaders, the madness of the mob, the cowardice of the governor, that horrible cross-laden journey to Golgotha, and finally, the crucifixion. And Mary had been there. She had witnessed the death. She had seen the tomb and his body placed within it. So she knew he was dead, gone forever from her life. It was a stunning reversal of what Mary had experienced just days earlier. And indeed, throughout her acquaintance with Jesus up until that time, he had been the epitome of strength and power, the master of every situation. Mary had seen his limitless help to those people who needed it. She had experienced his brilliant responses to every opponent. And then the adulation of the crowds wherever Jesus went. So what had happened at the end? Where had this weakness come from? Why had he submitted so readily to capture and cross? Why did he have to die? And what was she supposed to do now? Now that her Lord was dead. That must have been an extremely frightening time for Mary. For she was not simply a witness to what Jesus had done for others. She was a recipient of that help also. Jesus had used his power to help her when she needed it most. For Mary had been possessed of the devil, 7 demons, and Jesus had cast them out. Now, we don't know the details of Mary's situation, but certainly it was horrible. Perhaps it was like that woman who had been bent over, crippled for 18 years. Maybe Mary had been mute or deaf or blind. Maybe she threw fits, told fortunes, lived in the tombs or out in the wilds. Maybe she terrified others with her insanity. Well, we don't know. But you know, it really doesn't matter. It was over. Mary had been under the power of Satan, and Jesus had healed her, freed her, rescued her from the devil's grasp. So Mary followed Jesus. And I don't think it was just out of gratitude, for we can imagine that Mary was frightened that without Jesus close at hand, those devils might come back and her situation become even worse. Without Jesus, the future was bleak, bleak indeed, and that's exactly what Mary was facing because Jesus was dead. It's no wonder then that Mary was weeping on Easter morning. The loss of her Lord meant the loss of everything. Now, Mary's situation was, of course, unique. And God was preparing her to become a witness to the resurrection. But from at least one perspective, her situation was not unique at all, but instead typical of every human being. And that is a sense of helplessness in the face of evil. And helplessness, you know, often leads to hopelessness. Illness can do that. In spite of the fact that modern medicine does a lot of wonderful things, doctors are not miracle workers. And a bad diagnosis can wreak havoc with a person's spirit. So can failure. Failure in school. Failure at work. Failure at life. Failure in all of these matters can lead to a real sense of helplessness and despair about the future. But of course, many of us don't even need an objectively bad situation for that. We can generate that feeling ourselves, in our minds, in our hearts, and fall into a kind of depression and despair from which we seem powerless to pull ourselves. And then there's death. Perhaps the prospect of our own, but most certainly the loss of loved ones. How do you cope with the death of a parent, a child, a husband, or a wife? I'll tell you how most of us cope, just like Mary, with weeping, confusion, and yes, disbelief. In all of these situations, we can find it very, very hard to believe that Jesus is here. Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Like Martha, that's what we say too, not only in the face of death, but in all of these situations. Lord, if you were here, Lord, if only you were here. Now, Mary's situation resolved itself by an appearance of the resurrected Lord. Jesus was not dead, that is, no longer dead. He was alive. Mary's helper, healer, savior was alive. Talk about good news. Wow. But here's something else to think about. Jesus did not keep appearing to Mary the rest of her life. Oh, she probably saw Jesus again along with the other disciples later. But then when the 40 days were up, he ascended into heaven and was gone. Alive, yes, but no longer visible. So what then? Well, in a sense, Mary's situation became just like our own situation, dependent not on physical proximity, seeing Jesus, touching Jesus, but on remembering and believing the word of Jesus, especially what he had told her to say to the disciples, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now, that is one of the most beautiful expressions of the gospel ever. The only begotten Son of God, the risen Lord and Savior, says to us that we are God's children too. Now, that's what Jesus made possible by his submission, humiliation, suffering, death, and that's what the resurrection declares a reality. The Father has accepted the sacrifice of the Son. We are reconciled to God. He is our God and our Father too. Now, sometime during Mary's life, Jesus had transformed it by casting out 7 demons. But for a brief period of time, Mary thought that she had lost him forever. But then the resurrection transformed it again. Now, she might find occasion to weep in the future, but she would never be helpless or hopeless again. Mary Magdalene had an extraordinary experience, the first to see Jesus alive. But more extraordinary yet was what Jesus told her and us as well. In the face of illness, failure, despair, and death, Jesus still says, "My Father is your Father. My God is yours too." Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.